Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Yahushua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, as in cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, also called the Kingdom of Heaven or the Kingdom of God, because it's only in His kingdom that you will find eternal life. And he who endures, stays in his kingdom until the end, will be saved. We've been going through the book called Genesis, the first book in the Holy Bible. It's been a very interesting trek so far. Sometimes you come on a chapter, or at least I do, and I kind of wonder, well, why is this even in here? You know, perhaps chapter 20 of the book of Genesis would be better suited to a work like the book of Jasher, because it's more or less a journal of some events. And, well, it's in here, so we're going to go through it, and we'll get what we can out of it. Our Heavenly Father put it in here for a reason, perhaps just to show us that Abraham was just an ordinary man, like we're ordinary men. But he was an ordinary man who walked, who followed the way of Yahuwah. He was an ordinary man who loved our Heavenly Father with all of his heart. And he loved his neighbor as himself. We see that demonstrated through his life. So yes, Abraham was an ordinary man. He made it into what's called the Hall of Faith, and a list of the faithful patriarchs, or the faithful in the New Testament. And he is the father of us all through the seed, Yahushua, the promised Redeemer. So we'll jump in here. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1. And Abraham sojourned thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Well, you know, here it's happening again. It seems to be somewhat of a theme here. This king, Abimelech, which Abimelech means the father king or king father of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" So Abimelech considered himself a righteous man of a righteous nation. Here was a man who was a follower of the way also, who would not take another man's wife, because that would be unlawful. But why did he take Sarah? You know, Sarah's a 90-year-old woman. You know, perhaps her beauty had been preserved, and the scripture says she was well stricken in age, so it but goes to explain that she was past childbearing, that she had already been through menopause, or at least she thought, but apparently our Heavenly Father preserved an egg in the woman to carry on the line, the lineage of Abraham, the lineage that would bring forth the promised Redeemer, the Messiah. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he says, "Will you also slay a righteous nation?" So we have Abimelech, which means father king, and it made me think about something, you know, about the civil authority and the civil government and where it springs from, and how the New Testament says that it's ordained by God. But it says that in the New Testament. But was it the Heavenly Father's plan in the beginning to have these civil authorities? Well, I don't believe it was. You know, from my years of study of the Scripture, from reading it over and over, from reading and knowing His law, I see that, well, today, you know, there are four forms of government. The first and most important is self-government. If you don't govern yourself, you need to be ruled. You need an authority over you if you cannot govern yourself. So the first thing to do is to practice discipline in your life and practice self-government, to refrain your foot from doing evil and to have justice and do mercy, or do justice and mercy, however you want to put it. But that's what self-government is about. It, you know, it affects so many other areas of our lives. You know, it's like appetite. Well, do you govern your appetite, or does your appetite govern you? You know, are you a glutton, or do you just overeat? Are you obese? Well, that shows a lack of self-government, a lack of discipline in your life. And it's probably because of your disobedience to the Creator. I really believe that our disobedience to our Creator, to His law, to love Him and to love our neighbor as ourselves, I believe that that becomes displayed outwardly in our lives. So, though not always. I'm not saying that everyone that, you know, can control their appetite, because it's not always true. But much of the time, you'll see that people who do not exercise discipline are undisciplined because of disobedience. But back to our text here. Oh yeah, and I was talking about the father, king, and the civil government, because Abimelech, you know, the Ab part of his name refers to father, and Melech is king or ruler. So he was a father king. And he probably, the nation, because he said, will you judge a righteous nation, or will you condemn a righteous? Will you also slay a righteous nation? And here the word nation is nation, people, and it could refer to heathen or Gentile. So it can be the word nation, as I've just discussed before, can be translated many ways, and even refer to Israel using this Hebrew word, Gogi or Goyim, is nation, referring to the heathen or the other nations, usually in context. But he says here, a righteous nation with a father king. And I believe that's why the beast governments that exist on the earth today are so against strong families, because they know that they can gain a better control of the people if they destroy family government. And yes, self-government comes first, but then there is family government. Destroy the family government, then it falls to the other forms of government. And there's two other forms of government. There's one is the church government, or the government of the ecclesia, which was in the family, as we see demonstrated as we're going through the Old Testament. The church government, or the government of the ecclesia, was in the family at this time. And I believe that this was our Heavenly Father's original plan. Okay, and of course, then after that comes the civil government. But you see that the civil government also sprang from the family. Here you have this father king who's building a nation. You have Abraham, who has a nation around him, a people that have, and he is the father. He is the king of his nation. He is the head, the ruler. He is the great patriarch of his family, and everyone answers to him. And as we go forward into the law and Moses and the children in the wilderness, when a form of government is handed down to them, we see this form of government only on a much more organized basis. And actually, this form of government, this godly form of government that is given to the children of Israel in the wilderness, came out of the priest of Midian suggests this form of government. So another holy man, another father king, suggests the form of government that is actually given to Israel. And when Israel rejects that form of government, the prophet laments and says, they have rejected me. They won't listen to me. And the Heavenly Father tells the prophet, so they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. But now I'm getting way ahead. We will get there. So we have Abimelech, whose name means father king, had not come near her because, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? So we have a righteous man. So Abraham wasn't the only righteous man in the earth. We have another righteous man, Abimelech, the father king, who has his own nation. And let's see, the K&D commentary says that, you know, Sarah was 90 years old. He didn't take her because he was good. She was good looking, and he wanted her, and just had to have her in his harem. And why Abraham continues this, to use this defensive mechanism by letting everyone know that she is indeed his sister, and that he is her brother, as to protect him from. And also, apparently at this time, he didn't know Abimelech, that Abimelech was a righteous man, and that Abimelech would never have done anything like take another man's wife, because that would be considered adultery. But as the scripture says, that he had not come near her. In verse 5, she said, he not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this thing. Well, the question is, why would he take this 90-year-old woman? You know, she may have looked like she was 40 even. Or who knows, she might have looked like she was 35. Personally, I have met women in their 30s that are older than I am. And I'm not kidding you either. It's not always about chronological age. So Sarah, obviously, but there is another reason that he might have taken her to be akin to him, and perhaps to build an affinity or a confederacy with Abraham. Abimelech, the Philistine king of Gerar, like Pharaoh in Egypt, took Sarah, whom Abraham had again announced to be his sister, into his harem, not indeed because he was charmed with the beauty of the woman of 90, which was either renovated or had not yet faded, but in all probability to ally himself with Abraham, the rich nomad prince, Delich. And that's from the K&D commentary. So he thinking that this is Abraham's sister, and that obviously she doesn't have a husband, he takes her. I don't know whether he asked or not. We don't get that kind of detail. Perhaps he didn't ask. Perhaps he thought he was doing the right thing by taking Abraham's sister to be his wife, and this would ally him with Abraham. But look what happens. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you also slay a righteous nation? He said, said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. So what he did was in the righteousness of his own heart. And in the innocency of my hands, okay, and for I, and this is God speaking to Abimelech in his dream, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. I kept you from committing adultery with her. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. What do you think Abimelech did? Well, he restored her. He was a righteous man to begin with. So therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done unto us? For what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? What were you thinking, man? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, there, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So Abraham married his half-sister. That's what we find here. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is thy kindness which you shall show me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. So basically, you know, he learns that Abraham is a prophet, and pretty much, you know, makes an offering to Abraham. Whether it would be a tithe or not, I don't know, but he gives him man servants and women servants and oxen and sheep, and he gives Sarah his wife back to him, and he says, behold, my land before thee is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. Unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. We'll add to that 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all the other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and maidservants, and they bore children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Chapter 21 of the book of Genesis. And Yahuwah visited Sarah as he had said, and Yahuwah did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Well, like mother like son, she mocked at one time, and now the son is mocking. And who knows, you know, what he was saying, but somehow, this raised up fear in Sarah, so that she wanted to put him out, and that's exactly what she did. So here, the story again. She cast the Egyptian woman, she cast Hagar and her child out, her baby out at first, and the Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, told her to return and submit. And so now Sarah's going to Abraham saying, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. The thing was very grievous to Abraham's sight because of his son. Of course, Abraham loved his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken to her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Isaac is the lineage that was chosen. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a great nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, he took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And you always get this picture that she's taking this baby and casting it under the shrubs. Well, this is not a baby. This is a teenage boy, you know, 13, 14 years old, somewhere around there, had reached the age of accountability, being sent out from his father's house because one of Sarah's plea, and then the Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, says, send her out, I'll make him a great nation. So in other words, you know, Abraham sends him out because, you know, he's in the Father's hands. When you do what the Father tells you to do, you don't have to worry about your children. You have to be obedient. And, you know, that's a problem that a lot of so-called Christians have today, is they put their children before even the Heavenly Father. But the minute you do that, the minute you put your children before obedience to the Heavenly Father, you lose them. You know, and there's a lot of people that, in talking about the mark of the beast and so forth, when the mark of the beast comes, they will get the mark so that they can feed their children, and then they will comfort themselves by saying, I had to do it for my children. My children come first. But the minute you compromise your faith for your children, you lose them. You lose your children because you lose your faith. And when you lose your faith, when you act without faith, you hate your children. Because love is keeping his commandments. And if you love your children, you will keep his commandments no matter what the cost. I mean, Yeshua even says, unless you hate your mother, your father, your children, your wife. And I don't have the exact quote. I would have to, maybe I'll look it up during the break. And we'll come back with that. But it is so important to put the Heavenly Father first. Obedience to him first. And you can say, and you can comfort your heart in your disobedience by saying, God understands. Well, yes, he does understand. You have put the created thing, even be it your wife, your family, your children, he still created them. You're putting the creation before the Creator. You've got it backwards. He always comes first. And don't ever think that you're going to disobey God. You're going to be disobedient to his commandments for your children's sake. That is a grave mistake. He always comes first. Obedience always comes first. Because what good is it if you can provide food for the flesh and the bodies of your children, and you save them from suffering, hunger, and maybe even starvation? What good is that? If you teach them, one, how to compromise, that it's okay to be disobedient under certain circumstances, and you lose your soul and their souls forever. There's nothing in this life that is worth trading for eternal life. The temptations are great. And that's why it is so essential to practice obedience, to learn discipline. And that's what it means to be a disciple of Yahshua. To be a disciple of Christ. If you are his disciple, that means that you are learning discipline, because discipline is the root word of disciple. So if you're not learning discipline from him, then you are not his disciple. Because without discipline, how can you be a disciple? When the very term means that you are learning discipline. And what discipline are you learning? You're learning the discipline of the truth. You're learning the discipline of obedience to his commandments and the Heavenly Father. No, those things do not save you. Your faith has saved you. But faith without works is dead. If the works do not follow, if the obedience does not follow your faith, then you need to check out your faith, because you have a problem. Your faith is not real, because we live. The just shall live by faith. And if you're living by the faith of Yahshua, the faith of the work that he has done for you, then the discipline of good works, the discipline of obedience, will follow. I'll be back in a few minutes.